The title of this recording is Love Your Enemies versus The Secret to Healing. The very first quote at the beginning of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, states as follows: Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Those are the words of Jesus, quoted by John in the Gospel of John. The truth is what we need to be researching in everything we study regarding the system of divine metaphysics. Christian Science is divine metaphysics. Mary Baker Eddy states this on page 146 of Science and Health. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus's healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. On page 330, she states this: When the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. I believe what she's saying is that we need to live the 32 topics that are termed the 32 planks in the platform. And that begins on page 330 of the textbook. And when we do that, we will be able to have results from the system of divine metaphysics. The system of divine metaphysics, just like mathematics, has elements. The seven elements of divine metaphysics are mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, all spiritual qualities. Just as mathematics has the 10 digits of 0 through 9, and operators of add, subtract, multiply, and divide, the system of divine metaphysics also has operators, and there are four of them: the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. The Word is the facts about God. Those are the seven synonymous terms and related terms. The Christ is the translation function, which translates whatever appears to be visible and with a material basis into a spiritual basis. We have to see the spiritual foundation, which is the reverse of what appears as evil. Christianity is combining the facts about God, which are the Word, and translating anything that is evil into its opposite, which is the spiritual fact. And then we can demonstrate, which means heal the situation. Science means that we have already attained such a level that we are automatically translating whatever it is into the spiritual, and we're living the spiritual life. And that's where Jesus was. He was living the science, the spiritual life, because he was automatically translating. He obviously knew what God was all about, and he was demonstrating anything that came before him to prove that sin, disease, sickness, and death had no power and were unreal and that the divine mind provided all reality. There's a second quote at the beginning of the textbook, and it's by Shakespeare. And it says, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And the third one is from Mary Baker Eddy, and it says, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." Let's take a look at Love Your Enemies, which is an article by Mary Baker Eddy that begins on page 8 of Miscellaneous Writings, which is a 490-page book by Mrs. Eddy. And she says that if we want to understand science and health, we need to read her other 16 books. This is the largest one, and it is full of very important articles. So this one article is like in the first part of this book, and the very first sentence is, "Who is thine enemy, that thou shouldest love him?" And the second sentence, "Is it a creature or a thing outside thine own creation?" Think about what Shakespeare told us. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Ties right in exactly to the first two sentences of this article, Love Your Enemies. That's a 5-page article from page 8 to 13, and she begins it with this very important thought. Do we realize that the thoughts that we put into consciousness have a direct impact on our experience, our life, the results of our every thought, speech, and action is dependent upon whether they are the right kind of thoughts or not. What is in our consciousness? Are they spiritual ideas? Which means that they are flawless, because spirit is flawless. It's the opposite of matter, which is full of flaws, mistakes, error. They're the opposite of truth. I shall read the article, which is very short, only one page, and it is entitled The Secret. I have learned a great secret. I have learned how to demonstrate. I have learned how to make science a thing of life, not of words. I'm going to tell you what the secret is, and it is wonderful. It is this: not to see or hear or repeat any kind of imperfection. It is seeing and hearing and repeating good only, at all times and under all circumstances, and in spite of everything that appears to the contrary. I make this resolve every morning when I first open my eyes, and I renew it every hour of the day. I see perfection in myself, in my friends, in my so-called enemy, in my affairs, and in world affairs. I take my radical stand for the perfection of God and everything and for everything and everybody he has created. I look upon the world with God's eyes and see it just as He sees it, and I refuse to see it in any other way. I stop a dozen times a day and renew the resolve and make sure that I am not repeating error or giving way to criticism. I watch my thoughts about people, the lame, the old, the unloved, to sense that I pass in the street, stray animals. I accept nothing. I have taken my radical stand for perfection, and I will not, absolutely will not, relax this perfect standard. The result has been simply marvelous. Try it, and you will find that you forget your glasses. They will become unnecessary. You will be seeing with God's eyes, His perfect sight, and you will behold a perfect universe, the outward condition of your inward thinking. To change the picture, you must change the sight that produced the picture. That's the end of the article. Simple formula. Everything in Christian Science is simple. The discipline is the key which determines success, or a lack of discipline guarantees failure. Which are we going to choose? One sentence here. I see perfection in myself, in my friends, in my so-called enemy, in my affairs, and in world affairs. It's easy to find perfection in all of those things. We just have to look for it. There's a lot of beautiful things that are in balance and are harmonious all around us. She sees with God's eyes. She hears with God's hearing. Seeing means perceiving, which is telling the difference between one thing and another. And we want to be searching for the perfection. Hearing is spiritual understanding. So we want to see the perfection, and then we want to understand what it's all about. How did it happen? What is it? How does it affect me and my friends, and everyone in the whole universe? Those are the kinds of questions we must pursue in our research to improve our spiritual and only real consciousness. So love your enemy says, who is thine enemy that thou shouldest love him? Is it a creature or a thing outside thine own creation? It says, can you see an enemy except you first formulate this enemy and then look upon the object of your own conception? What is it that harms you? Can height, or depth or any other creature separate you from the love that is omnipresent good, that blesses infinitely one and all? God is constantly reminding us of His qualities. We cannot escape. The radio, if it's turned into station KOG, the importance of the message. KOG representing the kingdom of God. Mr. Winslow says, imagine yourself in a room that has a radio that is tuned in to that station and a telephone that is ringing, that is bombarding anyone that will pick it up and listen. It's bombarding them with mortal mind suggestions of evil in all forms. A storm, earthquake, flood, you name it. Mind enables one to dissolve the mortal mind suggestions. And that's what we need to do with every single one. We need to do it at the onset of the suggestion even being noticeable to us. Mary Baker Eddy stopped a dozen times a day, every hour. She probably did it more times than 12. She says a dozen. I don't think she was inactive for 12 hours a day. She was probably active 20 hours a day. So she probably stopped every hour for 20 hours. We can do the same thing. Many, many things we can think about. We can think about the definition of God. On page 465, she defines God as incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And on page 587, she says, God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving and eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. And on that same page, 587, she provides the definition of good. Good. God. Spirit. Omnipotence. Omniscience. Omnipresence. Omniaction. And she further defines omniscience as omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, omni-knowing. If we want to look for the good, use that definition. Claim your heritage to include reflecting the intelligence of God, the wisdom of God, the knowing of God. That enables you to choose between good and evil in the qualities of anyone at all that comes to your thought. Choose good. It's easy to criticize. We can all think about some mistake that someone else made. It's probably not very difficult to look in the mirror and make a list that is ever-ending, never-ending. It ever goes on and on. I can. Easy. Seems like my entire life was full of mistakes, regrets, an opportunity to reinvent your life. It's probably on the mind of a lot of people. It's easy to be swayed by that mortal mind suggestion of picking up the phone and letting the suggestion lead you down the wrong path. When you're in business, very easy to let that be your focus, and everything else takes a subordinate priority. If you're married, have children, you have friends, family, you may be involved in a church. How about your study? Studying to improve your spiritual understanding. Is that subordinate to your business? It was for mine. My business was number one. Totally out of balance. Oh yeah, you can make a lot of money. You can be so-called successful in a lot of different financial measurements. But what really defines man? On page 591, which is the glossary, Mary Baker Eddy defines man as the compound idea of infinite spirit. The spiritual image and likeness of God. The full representation of mind. Divine principle is defined as being balance and harmony, structure and system. What kind of a structure do we have in our life if we're devoting the main thrust to one thing and putting a very subordinate priority on everything else? And the way evil works, it is so deceptive and operates by creating decoys that it will give you as many excuses as you want to hear regarding why you are doing what you're doing, and you don't want to stop. You don't even realize how lopsided your schedule is. Richard Strain was at the end of his rope. He's an author on our website, Strain, Richard Strain. He was exhausted. He was involved in his daily activities 18 hours a day. Getting nowhere. Now, maybe you're getting somewhere with your business, but for whatever reason, he felt he was not making the progress in his life he needed to make. Doesn't mention about whether he was financially successful or not. But in his view, he was exhausted, and he wasn't going down the right path, and he didn't know how to fix it. He was like on a treadmill. He went to a Christian Science practitioner, and he told her his woes. And after patiently listening, the practitioner said, "How much are you studying?" You know, he outlined the things that were taking up 18 hours a day of his time. And she asked the simple question, "How much are you studying?" He said, "I don't have time to study. I just told you what I'm doing for 18 hours a day, all related to my business affairs. There's no time left. I sleep and eat, and that's it." She said, "If you're not studying 5 hours a day, you're not going to make the progress that you need to make to go forward in the development of your spiritual understanding." She says, it will affect everything in your life. But you can't even begin unless you're going to study 5 hours a day. She didn't say anything else. He says, "How am I going to do that?" She was silent. She told him the facts, and he had to make the decision where his commitment was going to be. Whether he wanted to get out of the stalemate that he felt he was in with his life, or he wanted to dig his way out. She didn't say any more. Finally, after contemplating it in her presence, he said, "Okay, I'm going to do it." By the end of the week, he said that his life had improved so much with the better use of his time during the day, during that 18 hours and so forth, that he didn't have a problem allocating 5 hours a day to study. Now, he started 5 hours the next day, so he only had 1 hour to sleep. But once he made the decision to do it, he wasn't going to let anything interfere. So by the end of a week, he was able to have 5 hours a day without a problem and still be able to rest the time that was needed for that. He said he got more done in less time in his whole life. Everything he was doing, it affected everything. After a period of time of this intense study, 5 hours a day, he was eventually invited to speak to people at different churches. And we have several of his talks in MP3 recordings. He doesn't say how he went about his studying. He did mention in one about doing a word study. This is what we recommend that you follow if you want to have consistent progress and want to transform your life from the rat race that most people are in to a life with consistent fulfillment. We're not going to tell you how to earn the money to buy a new car or new house or put three or four kids through college. That's an individual demonstration on what even is the right decision, let alone how to do it from a day-to-day basis. But remember that omniscience means omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. And Mary Baker Eddy has stated that divine love meets every need. She says divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. We have to be willing to listen. We have to be willing to put aside the dominance of materiality in our thinking, which is in the thinking of every human. We are born with a curse of believing that we are limited in every way, that we are made up of matter. Now, we are born as a result of a male and a female, and they produce something that turns into a baby, and we come from a mother's womb. And the first thing we do is start crying. Mary Baker Eddy says that a material sense of life is lie upon lie that has been compounded from the beginning of time. So we have to transform our thought, our consciousness, and we have to get rid of all the false beliefs so that we can fill our consciousness with the truth about God, about man, about the relationship between God and man. And that includes everyone that comes to our thought. Like she said, she had to stop a dozen times a day to make sure that her thinking was only in the spiritual realm about everyone, everything, all the time. She was attacked like Jesus constantly. She started a church that was the fastest growing and became the biggest, most powerful religious movement of all time. And when she passed on, who was there? She was like Jesus. She was betrayed. She was alone, her and God. The board of directors of the church. Did everything they could to make the entire group of Christian Scientists throughout the world, and they had churches in, I think, every country. They did everything they could to make them forget about the founder, the discoverer, the leader. First thing they did, within 24 hours, they took her picture out of the textbook and reprinted it. You can't buy one from the publishing house with her picture in it. We have them. Other people have done it because they realize you can't separate the discoverer from the discovery. Otherwise, you're separating the power of the thought in the book. Healing has gone down almost nothing in the Christian Science movement. Big cities used to have 40 or 50 churches. Now you're lucky to find 3 or 4. They got rid of almost all of them. Maybe they've gotten rid of all of them by now, or houses. They used to be historical monuments. There were all kinds of statues around to memorialize her success in transforming the world. Someone had a special pyramid made out of the biggest New Hampshire granite that had ever been mined. They blew it up. They buried the pieces in many different places so it could never be put back together. They did everything possible to separate her from Christian Science, and as a result, the healing efficacy was lost by everyone that followed that kind of an insane method. You can't do it. You can't do it. You're trying to steal the idea instead of using it as an example and molding your life after the divine life that she followed. The same was with Jesus. How many were at the cross? His mother was there. John was there, the only disciple. Mary Magdalene was there. I think there were 2 or 3 others. And yet he taught thousands of people. At one time it was 4,000, another it was 5,000. And that was only men. They didn't even count women and children. They were like nothing in society. In fact, even Mary Baker Eddy, all the time that she had discovered Christian Science and built up that enormous movement, like I said, I believe it was in every country in the world, she couldn't own property. She couldn't vote. Einstein said, "Science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind." Well, he obviously realized that Christian Science was both of them, because it is Christianity, which is the religion, and science. So it's a scientific religion. It is a religion based on science, not theory, not doctrine. In fact, the sixth tenet of Christian Science says that we shall have that mind which was in Christ Jesus, and do unto others as we would have them do unto us, and to be merciful, just, and pure. She also says, follow me only as far as I follow the Christ. Now, who ever developed any church that said anything like that besides what she did? No, they have big bureaucracies all set up. It's like being in the military. You follow this or that's it. She didn't even want to have a church. She had one, and then she disbanded. And everybody put so much pressure on her to have a church that she said, okay, this is what the world needs. They have to go through this growing experience and realize that a church is not going to do it. Because it has to be within one's own consciousness. In fact, she defined church in the glossary to remind us what real church is. On page 583, she says, church, the structure of truth and love, whatever rests upon and proceeds from divine principle. Rests upon and proceeds from divine principle. That doesn't sound to me like it has anything to do with a physical structure or people, bureaucracy, formal organization. Nope. She says the church is that institution which affords proof of its utility and is found elevating the race, rousing the dormant understanding from material beliefs to the apprehension of spiritual ideas and the demonstration of divine science, thereby casting out devils or error and healing the sick. Well, they're not doing any of that, or certainly a very tiny amount. And the number of churches that are out there tell you the story. They have shrunk by probably 90%, maybe more. I'm not saying this to purposely criticize anyone individually. I'm saying that you have to take the whole enchilada. If you're studying the results of someone's sincere effort to contribute to humanity and the well-being of their lives, you may as well not even start if you're going to begin by trying to steal the ideas and not giving any recognition to the one that put it all together. And this applies to any author. If you're studying music, it should apply to the composer. You should be grateful. Doesn't have to be someone that is only alive. The works are there. Either you should appreciate it or you should not study it. Whatever it is, doesn't matter what the topic is, what the category is, I've just mentioned in these last few sentences. We need to be living a life of giving. That should be our primary goal in life, is to give. Give, give, give to everyone. Give a smile. Appreciate. Glorify God. Seeing the perfection in other people. The Bible says we should tithe. Tithe by definition means a tenth part. Now that's for an average person. If you want to be a C student, then tithe 10%. There's many ways you can tithe, many ways you can give. Are you retired and you became very proficient in your profession, whatever it was? Maybe you can teach others. Maybe you can teach youth. Maybe you can teach at a school or at a college or university. Or maybe you can provide seminars. Today, with the internet, wow, unlimited opportunities. You don't even have to leave your home. You can have an office in your home and or an area in your home where you have your equipment. It's almost a zero cost to have your own website if you know how to do it. If you don't have to hire programmers, you know, we hire programmers. Do you get anything from the website of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute? How about from these recordings? We have over 200 recordings. In fact, probably 300 or 400. Do you make any contributions to the Mary Baker Eddy Institute? Some people tell us that they cannot even begin their day without going to the website and gaining spiritual inspiration from the articles and the prayer treatments and so forth that we have posted. We just started a new edition, which is a daily thought. So we give you some kind of a quick daily thought that you can think about and use all day long, if you so desire. We change the home page almost every day with a complete new comprehensive presentation. You can spend hours on it. And everything you do will help improve your spiritual status, your spiritual understanding, help you along the path of infinite progression. There's a movie called Pay It Forward. We explained it in detail in our most recent recording that's an 80-minute MP3 that's entitled Love Your Enemies. Field of Dream is another worthwhile movie. That brings out the point that if you don't believe in what you're doing, if you don't trust, then you won't be able to see the truth of what's going on. If you want to really make major progress, in fact, it's unlimited progress, I will explain the system to you right now that will give you results for as long as you follow it. You will improve your entire life as long as you follow this system. It is to start reading Science and Health at the very beginning. And if you prefer listening to MP3s, you can do that. Some things you cannot get as much out of if you don't have text, but we offer it in text as well as MP3s. I don't use books myself because the computer gives so much more flexibility with the software that's available these days. Much of it is free. So I like to use big screens and a computer. And so it's very easy to make notes. I use different kinds of software, diagramming software, database software, spreadsheets, text documents. I use a variety of tools. Everyone needs to work out what works best for them. Some people live on a cell phone. Then they have to do it differently because they have to work within the limitations of the small screen. But that's your preference. I think something like 70% of the people use a cell phone for everything in their life, all communications, all information resources, all communications. Whatever works for you is what you've got to do. But the system is this. You study the book in whatever form you want to do that, as just mentioned, from beginning to end. And you stop at every key point. Now, the textbook has topic titles. So there's anywhere from 1 to 3 or 4 on a page. So you would stop it at the end of that topic title, for example, and you would really contemplate it. And then you would put it in your own words, restate it completely and put it in your own words, and put any other thoughts in there that you want. And it's highly recommended that you look up every single word that you are not totally convinced that you know frontwards and backwards. Some words you think you know, and you will find, if you look in a dictionary, you will find new information about it that could shed light on exactly the sentence that you're reading where the word is used. We recommend Noah Webster, 1828 Dictionary. He was a very Christian man. He quotes many things from the Bible to support the definitions that he provides. So the system includes going from beginning to end of the textbook to the very last word on page 700 in the sequence that the book was written, because there's a very strategic reason for doing that. Because the development of what you learn in one chapter and in the prior chapters builds a foundation for the next chapter. And it's all divine inspiration. Mary Baker Eddy didn't even read the textbook from beginning to end until some 30 years or so after she wrote the first edition. And then when she read it, she realized that God had dictated to her a complete system. So she rearranged the chapters so that it was in the system that she was inspired to see after everything had already been written. So we're very fortunate, because we have the finished product. So you study from beginning to end, writing everything in your own words. In other words, you're internalizing it. You're making it your own. And of course, you want to refer back to the original text to make sure that you're not getting off on a tangent, but that you are sticking to the principle that is in the text. And you do that from beginning to end, and then you repeat the process as long as you want to make progress in your life. If it's until the last day that you're on earth, then you do it until the last day you're on earth. If you only want to make a little progress, then stop whenever you want to. In fact, you don't even have to start. Now, the important thing that you have to do is to record in an audio format, probably an MP3, every single thing that you read, every single thing that you create in terms of your own interpretation of what you read. Turn on the recorder when you begin your study session and don't turn it off until you're done. Or except if you want to pause to be contemplating something, but if it's worthy of writing down or saying verbally, then you record it. And then when you go back to the beginning of the book and do it the second time, you start fresh. You don't look at your old MP3s or listen to them. You start fresh, as if you never saw the book before. Except that if you made a record of your vocabulary, and I recommend that be a separate procedure, and I use a database for that, so you could use that over and over. But the rest of it is all fresh. You start as if you never saw the book before, because you will get new inspiration every time you read it. Every time you start over from the beginning, you will get new inspiration. And when you have spare time, whether it's in the bathroom, taking a shower, being in the kitchen, eating, maybe driving in an area where there are no other cars, waiting in line, waiting for a meeting. Mary Baker Eddy states that the primary difference between success and failure in a project is how you use the moments of the day. And moment is defined as the smallest amount of time. It's not defined in mathematics. It's defined in the word smallest. And if you use those moments constructively, then you will be building toward the successful completion of whatever it is, the topic. If you waste the moments, then you've wasted it forever, because we don't get a replay of the time. So the moment right now is what we need to be concerned with, making constructive use of it. And we either do or we waste it. It depends on what you have as a burning desire in your heart. Where do you want to go? What do you want to accomplish? You just want to cruise along? Or do you want to make a difference in your life? Do you want to be like Richard Strain was before he made the commitment? Or not? So it's very important to replay your audio tapes, and I would keep them. I would never toss them. You can go back and review from time to time, and you'll see the progress that you made. That's very rewarding. And it costs nothing to make digital. Well, you might have something involved in the storage, but that's very, very, almost no cost these days. I remember the very first 25-inch monitor I bought. or excuse me, 21-inch monitor, and it was $2,500. And it had to be delivered by a commercial truck. You know, you couldn't send it through regular UPS or any of those, FedEx, post office, because it was too heavy. I remember it as clear as day. It was 1990. $2,500 for a 25-inch. And now for $2,500, you can buy five 55-inch screens. Five. Yeah, they're only $500. Not $2,500, $500. Wow. We are at a great advantage because of the technological advances and the way prices have dropped out of the floor. But the quality is not very good. People keep driving for a desire for lower prices, and as a result, the obsolescence on new equipment is very, very low. The lifespan of a new monitor these days or a new computer is not very good. So, you decide how you want to do it, but there are many moments that you can use to listen to your recordings. And I cannot tell you how important it is to do the recordings. It's a difference between day and night. Now, there's one other book you should do this with. In fact, you should do it with all of Mary Baker Eddy's 16 books. But another one you should do this with is a book by Helen Wright, the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. And it's titled, Your Divinity Revealed. And chapters 4 through 10 are an in-depth study of the seven synonymous terms. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And without having a thorough knowledge of those, you cannot get anywhere in studying Christian Science. You can't get anywhere in becoming proficient about the system. Now, we explain the system from beginning to end in these prayer treatments. You need to learn it, frontwards and backwards. You need to have a thorough understanding of it. And I don't care what kind of a genius you are, we have something to keep you busy. Because we have the most advanced materials. And if you have a photographic memory, you will want to revise these instructions. And you're used to doing that throughout your whole life if you have a photographic memory. And that's wonderful if you do. I know several people that have, and they conduct their whole learning process differently. And that's wonderful. I'm talking to anyone that doesn't have that blessed feature of a photographic memory, which is 99.9999% of the population. But the method that I'm outlining will definitely work. And with the other book that I mentioned, Your Divinity Revealed, you will want to start at the beginning of the book and go to the end. And then when you start your repeat process, you would just repeat the chapters of 4 through 10. Which are the carving out the chapters that are on the seven synonymous terms. That study process that I just described will be effective. You have to remember, you can't divorce Mary Baker Eddy from Christian Science or from the textbook, or you're going to be barking up the wrong tree. You're going to be fighting it forever. And also, if you don't have a giving heart, one of the most successful practitioners of all time of Christian Science is Frederick L. Rawson. And he said we should devote our lives to making other people happy. If you read his bio and you can match that, then you are an exceptional person. He was an exceptional in every single thing he did. In fact, the way he found out about Christian Science, he was hired by one of the most popular newspapers in the UK because they were getting reports that people were getting healed by ones that are coming there from the US. And they said, we want you to research it and see what truth there is in this. And as a result of researching it, and he was an electrical engineer by trade, and he had a reputation whereby people came to him from all over the world to solve their electrical problems. Big companies, they couldn't figure out the problem, you know, how to solve it. They had problems and no solutions. So they traveled from all over the world. And this is back like 1900. You know, it was, you know, probably a 2 or 3 week travel on a boat to get there. There was no airplanes. And they came from all over to have him solve their problems. So he was very technically oriented, very systematic. And in fact, he discovered how to go back in time and have a healing take place prior to him being contacted. He also wrote an encyclopedia, which includes 1,315 different ailments and how to solve them in Christian Science. So anyway, he will be an author that you will definitely want to explore, along with Wentworth Winslow, that I mentioned about being in a room with a radio and a telephone. And also Robert C. Putnam. He is probably, next to Mary Baker Eddy, the finest Bible scholar you will know of or learn about. And he wrote a book called 10 Bible Lessons. And that's his experiences over a 30 or 35-year period of teaching Sunday school. And those students were really lucky. But that's something you definitely want to explore. You'll learn everything you need to know about the Bible. And it's only 169 pages. But everything in there has requirements of other reading, all from the Bible. And sometimes you might have to read a whole chapter or a whole Bible book before you're prepared to take on that particular lesson. And 8 chapters are on the Old Testament, and he covers Christ Jesus thoroughly in chapter 9 and the second coming of the Christ in chapter 10. So those are some of the ones that are highly recommended as part of your study program. It's very important when you do your studying, when you're coming to concluding it, that you give gratitude for all of the truth that has been revealed to you in your study session. You will have a lot of truth revealed to you. You also want to give gratitude for everyone that you gained something from. If you gained something special out of Matthew or Genesis or Exodus or Habakkuk wrote, God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. Very, very important words. How about Shakespeare? You can give gratitude for Shakespeare. For John, giving you the words of Jesus, and for Jesus. You need to give gratitude for everyone that you gained inspiration from that study session. At least, be generous with your gratitude. You need to be giving whatever you have. You need to be giving money. If you have money, everyone has some. You know, the woman that only had two mites equal one penny, by the way. She only had one penny, and she gave it away because that was all she had to give. That was all she had. And Jesus said that she gave more than anyone else because she gave all she had. Are you giving anything? Most people give nothing. Most people give nothing. They will study and study and study, and they can't figure out why they're not getting results. Love is giving. Love is the most predominant synonym for God that Jesus represented. And the same with Mary Baker Eddy. Giving. Giving, giving, giving. Mary Baker Eddy gave her life. Not for herself. Not for herself. For humanity. You think Jesus gave for himself? No. Why do you think he went through the crucifixion? Not for us to be forgiven of our sins, which is what most people are taught to believe. He went through the crucifixion to show the world that the belief of death could be overcome. And that the body was not changed as a result of death. And that we have a probationary period on the other side before we go up to the next level. He had very specific reasons for going through it. He asked God, can I escape this? The answer was it needed to be done to prove these things to humanity. He was only in his ministry 3 years, and look how many, it's been 2,000 years already that people have gained from that 3 years of what he did in his life. You should also end your study session with something that is a thought about something that is either related to what you studied, or it could be anything in general. You can end it with the Lord's Prayer, the definition of one of the definitions of God or of good, or, you know, whatever you're inspired to do. Your study session is your study session. You need to take what is recommended in this recording and adapt it to what fits your individual thoughts about it. You don't have to follow anything that's suggested. If you want to try something different, try something different. I'm giving you a system that, you know, it's not me, but, you know, the system that's being reiterated here is one that we know works. If you read the last 100 pages in the textbook, there are, I think it's 85 people, and they give testimonies on like 5 or 6 items, each one that was healed of. So there's like 450 or 475 healings that 85 people had. So they may have had one problem that prompted them to start studying, and they ended up healing things that they didn't even think about. They just automatically were healed. And every one of those people were healed as a result of one thing. They thoroughly studied science and health from beginning to end. That was their method. That's why I know that it works. There's proof from 85 people, and they've all been verified. Believe me, Mary Baker Eddy wouldn't have put them in the textbook if they weren't thoroughly vetted. They're not theories, they're not hope. They're actual demonstrations that have been verified. And this letter that I read, The Secret, Mary Baker Eddy tells you some of the things that she healed as a result of that letter. That the thoughts, the ideas that she gave in that letter. And you should read what she says about the Lord's Prayer on page 14, 15, and 16, and 17. Yep, she says basically that if you thoroughly understand spiritually the spiritual sense of the Lord's Prayer, you can heal any problem instantaneously. Any problem. And how you can get to that level in your thinking, we've given you the system. It's up to you to do what you want to do with it. I will close this recording with the scientific statement of being. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Amen.